Last week, the sermon title in your bulletins that you never opened was Gospel Economy. So you might be wondering, well, what does gospel economy mean and have to do with the story of the temple? So I just want to bring us back to last week when we would have been looking at Mark chapter 8, when Jesus told of his coming death and possible coming death and resurrection. And Peter got a little bit indignant with him and told him that, no, you can't die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And then he talked to not only the crowd, to the disciples, but to the crowd. And verse 36 and 37 went something like this. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Jesus was speaking to the disciples and to the crowd about the choice of either following the world's economy or the gospel economy, of paying attention to the kingdom of God, which is to be here in this world, that we are to be partakers in bringing that about, and that sometimes when we make that choice to follow Jesus, we have to leave behind the world's economy, which is about making money, buying stuff, being concerned about our own particular comfort rather than about the salvation of the world. So as we look at that gospel economy on a personal level, today's reading brings it then to the communal level, to what does it mean to be church and have a gospel economy. So let's go back to that time in the temple where Jesus has come into Jerusalem. It's time for Passover, which means that people are going to come and make sacrifice at the temple. So in order to make sacrifice at the temple, you have to make sure that you have a clean animal, one that is kosher, one that meets the requirements of the temple. So the only place you can buy those is at the temple. But you cannot use the coin of the realm at the temple. You have to use temple coin. So if you and I were going there, it would be like going to a foreign country. We bring in our dollars and we get them changed into whatever the dollar or currency is for that nation. Well, when you stepped into the temple to purchase the animals for sacrifice, you took the coin of the realm, which was the Roman coin, and you exchanged it with the money changers to be temple currency. And then you could go and buy whatever animal you could afford to buy to make sacrifice for atonement. See what was happening in the midst of the temple? It was almost like one of those bazaars that we have. You had the money changers changing money, and you can guarantee the money changers were charging a fee for you to change that money. The money changers worked for the temple. And then the cost of the animals in which you were purchasing in order to make atonement, those rates were based on what the temple chose to charge. So Jesus coming in to Jerusalem for Passover comes to the temple to teach and to worship. And what does he find? He finds a marketplace. He finds the temple more concerned about money for the temple, the poor being cheated out of their own funds so that they can make the atonement sacrifice that they can make, which sometimes was as small as a dove. For others, it was as large as the cattle. And Jesus was angry. As we were talking in our rebel Bible study, he got a little bit like a renegade and rebellious, and he turned those tables over and he said, no, this is God's house. And in God's house, what we do, as Hannah told us, we worship God. We don't worship the temple. We don't worship finance. We worship God. Now you can imagine how those who were in control of the temple might have felt that day as he was turning over their tables and he was saying, you are misbehaving. Your economy is not gospel economy. Your economy is temple economy. And we're to be about the gospel message, the good news message, the message of the fact that you don't even understand that the temple that can be rebuilt in 3 days is me. You're thinking it's the mortar and brick that is all around us. So then I had to think about how we as the body of Christ, how we as the church might not practice gospel economy, but temple economy. Where do we fail as Christ's body to honor Christ's church, which is us, the body? So I have to get personal for a moment. You all know I'm leaving for what was to be a 7-day vacation that I have reduced to 3.5 days because of poor calendaring. But I'm not a very good Sabbath keeper. And if we think about it, the fourth commandment is what? Keep the Sabbath holy. In fact, it's the longest commandment. Go back and read your Ten Commandments. It's the longest commandment about what we are to do with Sabbath time. Now, as a clergywoman, I cannot keep Sabbath on a Sunday because I work. I have chosen Fridays as my Sabbath day, and Leo will probably tell you when the last day I kept Sabbath on a Friday, if he can remember, because I can't. But I had to stop and think, church, about what we do as church on what is your Sabbath. Your Sabbath is today, is it not? Well, I was in a Sabbath workshop, the Sleeth Workshop 24/6. And the fact that we, 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, we work in the world. But one day of the week, we stop and honor the Lord our God. And the two things we can do on that day is pray and play. So we could have church, because that's praying. We can have Sunday school, because that's honoring the Lord. We can have United Methodist men and United Methodist women, if our focus is on God and Jesus Christ, and growing in our faith. We can have youth group doing the same. But when we get about doing the business of the church, and I have been just as guilty as any other, when we do the business of the church on your Sabbath day, it's not mine, so I'm not breaking my Sabbath, but I'm breaking yours. When I ask you to do church business on the Sabbath. When we talk about gospel economy, if we can't honor the Sabbath, one of the commandments of the Lord, then where else do we put God aside? Where else do we, as this body who gathers together, worships together, does the work of the kingdom here in this place and beyond, if we can't honor our Sabbath time with the Lord, how are we falling into the world's economy and not gospel economy? How can we remain centered in the Lord if we are not spending gospel Sabbath time with God, when we are not honoring that commandment to keep the Sabbath holy? So I'm going to ask you something. I need you to be accountable with me. First, make sure I'm keeping my Sabbath. Help me keep my Sabbath. You know, if someone is sick and in the hospital on a Friday, I do expect a phone call. If someone has an emergency or a death, I do expect a phone call. And I will be there. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. I will be there. But I need to take Sabbath. I need to spend time with God and the Lord. I need to spend time with God in Sabbath rest. But we as the body need to do that same thing. That we need to appreciate this gift that God gives us called Sabbath. Because I believe, as we were talking in Rebel Jesus, that that's just a little bit rebellious these days to keep the Sabbath holy. It might be a little bit rebellious for us to do that, because what might God do with us when we do that? How might we be able to better understand who we are in Christ when we are keeping Sabbath? How might we better understand the vision God has for us here in this place if we honor Sabbath. It's gospel economy. When we say, well, it's the best day for us to meet because I have worldly commitments these other days, what have we done? We've allowed the world's economy to govern when we do the business part of being God's church. I don't know how we're going to go forward with this, but I'm going to ask you in this time of Lent for us to be in prayer, how we can be the body of Christ who honors Sabbath for each other. That means you have to individually keep your Sabbaths too. If I'm going to keep mine, you're going to keep yours. And you might find me asking you now and then, and how is your Sabbath practice? And I expect that your answer will be good and well. And you expect mine to be the same. I was just thinking about my excuses. Can you imagine that? I was already in that excuse mode. Well, no more excuses. Gospel economy means God is first. Gospel economy means this place on Sabbath days is a day of worship and a day of growing in our faith, whether it is a Bible study or a group that's focus is on God. And our business as the body of Christ can happen on other days. Jesus overturned the temples because the world had gotten into the temple. We need to be on guard that the world does not get in to who we are as this body of Christ. So join with me in this Lenten time to honor our Sabbath and to have a gospel economy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.